Lord God, please let what I say come from you and through me and out to others. Amen. Amen. Morning. Happy Father's Day. Morning. So, I don't know about you, but did the gospel reading this morning sound a little seedy? All right. Well, these two parables about the kingdom of God, and they illustrate just about as much as we can understand, that is, about the aspects of God's reign. And in both stories, Jesus talks about seeds. Now, I want you to think of the seed as sort of a metaphor for our formation and for our education. And we are going to need it because God's new order is going to take root and it's going to come to fruition whether people want it to or not. Our part of the journey, the sprouting and the growth and the spread of the kingdom, will determine where we stand once it's completed. Jesus's parables have a way of sort of reordering our conventional way of thinking. They challenge our earthly assumptions and our values. Now, parables are not moral tales. They're not even explanations. They're intended to upend our assumptions of the givens and even sometimes the realities that we just accept unquestioningly. They offer us a vision of something different. They call into question some accepted truths, and that almost always makes them subversive or challenging, almost goading us to consider that there are other possibilities in light of God's promises. They don't explain how we're going to recognize the reign of God, but they do make it clear that we need to change our earthly perspective and adopt new ways of looking at our relationship with God and with each other, specifically how we're connected to each other. As Paul put it in his epistle, Paul says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." The parable of the mustard seed is found in all three synoptic gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's also found in Thomas. This is a famous story, people. They've named bookstores after it. The mustard seed, okay, in this parable is not the mustard that we sort of crunch down into this spicy condiment we put in our hot dogs at the Nats games. This mustard plant is more of a shrub. It's a tree-like thing. Not a tree, but it is a shrub, and it grows and it spreads quickly. And I got to tell you, the farmers of the day were not happy about these mustard shrubs, because what it would do is it could take over a whole field and completely inhibit grain production. That was not good for them. So I looked up some photos online, and I have to say, it's a large shrub. It does indeed provide some shelter for the birds and for God's creatures. But the seed is so small. I mean, it looks like something I would find on top of my everything bagel. But I'll tell you what, that mustard seed, it is packed with potential. We cannot bring on the reign of God. The love and the redemption and the grace that is coming, we can't bring that. But like the mustard shrub, we can't control it, we can't moderate it, we can't domesticate it, and we can't stop it. God's reign is just like the mustard plant. It's an out-of-control weed that is going to grow and spread whether we want it to or not. In Luke's version of this same story, the mustard seed, Jesus warned the disciples that there are going to be things along our journey that cause us to stumble. Look around you. Temptation is everywhere. And we should guard against being the ones, by the way, who trip others up on the journey as well. We need to be in right relationship with each other. We need to forgive each other. If we're going to be one body that together ushers in the reign of God, we need to remember that we are in this together, and we need to remember to forgive. In Luke's story, the disciples said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." And Jesus replied, "You know, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." The reason I went to Luke is because he brought up the words concerning faith. Hang on to faith. because faith will hang on to you and rescue you when you need it the most. And so will hope. Faith's sister Hope will also be there for you when you need it the most. Because life is hard, but the journey is so worth it. Forgive each other. Keep moving forward. Enjoy the ride. It's our faith that lets us bring the reign of God through us. God promises us that God is on the move. I think that means God is continually creating. It also means that when life is hard, when we meet resistance and fail or fall short of what we hope will happen, we can take refuge in the promise that God is still at work on the world and God is still working on us. Theologian David Luce said, "Work like it's all up to you. Pray like it's all up to God. Throw ourselves into the opportunities and challenges ahead of us with equal measures of delight and resolve. Keep at it, knowing that God is with us and for us, and give it our all, knowing that no work done in love is ever lost, and that God, in time, will draw all things together for the good." We cannot, in short, measure the strength and the validity of God's promises based on our efforts, but we can base them on the promises of the God who created light out of darkness and the God who raised Jesus from the dead. Those things will give us a quiet and resilient confidence to rejoice when we see God's reign lived out and to be encouraged when we see it not happening. It's the nature of God's reign to grow and to manifest itself in our hearts and in society and in the whole world. That's what it does. It's like a seed. God's reign must grow. And even unattended, even if its gradual expansion is almost impossible to detect, it's going to happen. So here's where we come into the story. God's reign doesn't need to grow unattended. We can tend to it. I, for one, do not think that I am any major philosophical leader or theologian. I'm not a Ruth. I'm not a Gandhi or a Rosa Parks. I'm no Martin Luther King or Julian of Norwich. Not a Reinhold Niebuhr or even a Viktor Frankl. I'm just Jamie. Do you really think, and do you believe in your heart? Do you have the faith that you can make a difference? Can you usher in the reign of God? Can you help that process? Yes. Yes, you can, and I can, and we all can. The smallest thing, the smallest act of kindness, even as small as a simple smile, can grow into a grand and spreading and positive movement that will change the world. Not one of us is insignificant. None of us acts without leaving an impact on the world and on others. We are not small, and what we do matters. Today, Samuel tells us about David. Now, David was the least expected of the brothers. He was fallible, and he was the very last choice, and he was left to tend the sheep. But he grew to be the greatest king that Israel had ever known. David, the shepherd boy, he seemed to have absolutely nothing, and David's family just considered him the least. I think in the story today, it's much like somebody forgetting to call you to dinner. Okay? David's family didn't think of him, let alone even call him to come and stand up for the kingship. The one that the family rejected became Israel's king. While David's family thought very little of him and his time with the sheep, I'll tell you what, that time of David being a shepherd, that's what prepared his heart for kingship. From the first mention of David in Ruth to the last mention in Zechariah, David's name, David the Least, appears over 1,000 times. And in the New Testament, 59 more times. David's story reveals the blessings and difficulties, the victories and the defeats, and the best and the worst that leadership had to offer. But I'll tell you what, these words are true in David's time as they are in ours, and that is this: absolute power corrupts absolutely. The one thing none of us can escape is our humanity. We too, I think, sometimes get a sense of powerlessness, that, we are not worthy. That is a lie. A lie that we tell ourselves. We are part of God's creation and we are good. All of us, no exceptions. All of us have the power and the potential of a mustard seed inside of us. And what we do matters. And sometimes the smallest act of kindness that we do for another can have far-reaching implications, some of which we may never even realize that we empowered. A smile can change the world. One of the first times I ever remember doing a random act of kindness, I was a freshman in college, and we had a carnival day with a bunch of balloons on campus, and of course, being an art major, I had on painter's overalls with one of those tool loops on the side. And I had tied a balloon to it, and I was walking down the street, and I encountered a little family, a mom and her kids, standing at the bus stop. And the mother standing there, an infant in one arm, and a very obedient five-year-old boy kind of grabbing a hold of her leg, standing there in silent obedience. And the other hand, the mother's hanging on to an absolutely screaming two- or three-year-old having a tantrum, just losing it. And I stopped, and I untied the balloon, and I made a little, kind of a little slipknot loop, and I leaned down to the little girl, and I said, "Do you like the balloon?" She stopped crying, and I slipped it on her arm and bounced it a little bit. She was quiet, and I looked up, and the mother looked at me and she said, "Thank you." Yeah. The 5-year-old brother was kind of like let go of his mom's leg, like, "Okay, I'm glad that's over." You know, he smiled. And I just smiled at her. I said, "My pleasure." And I just kept walking. I have no idea why all these years later I remember that story. I mean, it was a moment in time. I have no idea if that act gave that mom just a few minutes of silence, or if that impression maybe made her or the little brother do a random act of kindness for somebody some other time later in life. It's not for me to know. What I do know, I know how that made me feel. There is no gospel in which Jesus remains buried in the ground like a dormant seed. There is no faithful act that involves putting our light under a bushel. The reign of God does not carve out a space, a little sacred space just for a few. It claims all aspects of humanity. There are no exceptions. As an individual, go into the world and do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. And teach your children well to do the same. Amen.